On the block, on demand.
Without Jerry McIntyre, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
2 seconds and one. It's 10 wins in a row for the Crunch.
It's the biggest upset in the Carrier Dome in more than 30 years as the Orange hold off the defending national champions. They beat Clemson.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
McCoy in the backfield takes the handoff, runs up the middle, breaks a tackle. He's inside the 10, cuts to the left, into the end zone. Buffalo wins.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
They'll look at the positive side of things once in a while instead of the negative all the time.
This is On the Block.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica, Rome, what's happening, Mohawk Bill? On 96.5 FM, that's where you can hear us. Let's do it. Let's do it wherever you are.
That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, wherever you go, take us with you on the ESPN app.
That's hot.
Sure is. Just download it on your phone or wherever you have applications in which you listen to things mobily, and you find ESPN Syracuse, you hit that listen tab, and off you go. It's just that easy, especially a day like today. When a sunshiny spring day beckons, get outside, get some vitamin D, do the thing, and we can come with you while you walk the dog or whatever he's doing, sneaking in nine today. Softball league starting around Central New York. Kids' games can actually be played outside. Getting out there, baby, and we can come with you. Just listen on the ESPN app. Here's how you get in touch with the show today, 437-7644. That's the phone number, Brent Axe Media, Brent Axe Media on Twitter. The text line is 288-0644. All great ways to get in touch. You can participate in the program any way you want.
That's hot.
Send us your hot takes. We have two guests that will join us today, and we are looking forward to both of these gentlemen coming in on the show. Right here in this hour, Syracuse Crunch head coach Ben Grew will join us as the Crunch get ready to start the Calder Cup playoffs on Friday. The Cleveland Monsters are in town. That's an interesting parallel because it is the affiliates of Tampa Bay and Columbus, and we all saw what happened last night, one of the great collapses I have seen in modern professional sports history. It may even be the biggest when you weigh everything considered in that conversation. So the Crunch are certainly hoping to avoid that fate, and it is now on the Crunch to be the team in the Tampa Bay Lightning family that chases and wins a cup. Hashtag raise it, right? So we're going to talk to Ben Grew about the season they had, what carries over in the postseason, what does not in terms of his approach. Is it just a completely wipe the slate clean, don't even think about what happened beforehand, or are there some things that you're doing well and you'd like to lean on and continue and say, no, let's keep doing that here in the postseason? What's the approach there? The amazing season that Carter Verhaeghe had. We talked to Carter right here on ESPN Syracuse yesterday. If you missed that interview, it's up at ESPNSyracuse.com in the audio vault. And frankly, how you avoid the same fate. Will Cleveland take a page out of Columbus's book and playing Tampa Bay? Be a Syracuse down here. Same approaches, same teams. You're building up players, same system. So how wary is Ben Grew going to be of what Columbus did to Tampa Bay with his upcoming series against Cleveland? We'll talk to him this hour. My man Matt Parrino is in town. Syracuse.com, NY Up, Buffalo Bills NFL reporter. Matt will be in studio with us next hour. We are going to talk draft. The schedule release is always an interesting day because the NFL tries to make this thing an event. It tries to make it a television show, and they have succeeded at that. But by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, we pretty much know the schedules because it is a leaky valve every year that the NFL cannot stop. All the big matchups, we pretty much know the schedule. I'm not going to do a spoiler alert. It's a schedule, people. No, 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 don't tell me. Stop. Okay? Seth told you in the update, it seems if all holds and the leaks are correct, that the Bills are going to be the home opener for both the Giants and Jets this season, which is just amazing to think about. So we'll get into all the NFL issues, draft issues, all sorts of good football stuff, some good meaty football talk. Looking forward to it. Our man Matt Parrino in town, so we said, hey, come in studio, and that he will do. Syracuse football news and notes, including the continuing ticket sales for the Clemson game, which I think will be the first sellout since when? What was the last official sellout for Syracuse football that we can compare this to? We'll get into that later on. We'll go on the blind side as usual. Hot takes on the way, but our Burdick BMW opening drive of the show brings us to what we saw last night, what I believe to be one of the most epic collapses I have seen in professional sports. Former Syracuse Crunch head coach, now Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, John Cooper addressed it last night as the Lightning not only lost, they got swept and they got their butts handed to them by the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You know, ask any coach in this league, it's a grind. And you look back from middle of September when training camp starts and you know, they basically become your family. You're with them way more than you are your immediate family. And so I can't look to the future and see what's going to happen. I'm just, you know, it's more of kind of the depressing feeling of this group, you know, is not going to be together anymore.
One more from Cooper after Tampa Bay leaves with their heads hanging from the Stanley Cup playoffs way earlier than anybody would have anticipated.
When you have the amount of points we had, it's a blessing and a curse in a way, because you don't play really any meaningful hockey for a long time. And then all of a sudden you got to amp it up, and it's not an excuse, it's a reality. You know, that's how it goes. And so, you know, you have a historic regular season the way what we did, and had basically a historic playoff, you know, in defeat.
There's a fair point there from Cooper, and you may be somebody listening saying, Brent, I'm not a big hockey fan. I don't think you have to be a hockey fan to appreciate what we saw last night. Now let's go back to Sunday. Tiger Woods, 43-year-old man who could barely walk 2 years ago, but gets spinal fusion surgery, rights the ship, gets his swing back, gets his groove back, goes out there, wins the Masters. That's not unbelievable. Maybe the fashion in which he did it, some things you can describe as unbelievable, but the fact that Tiger Woods won a 15th major is not in of itself unbelievable when you look at the injury history and some of the things that factor into it. Sure, you can bring that in, but I can process that. I can process the fact that the world's best golfer at one time reclaimed that title. If you know about Tiger Woods, his competitive drive, the resources available to him to fix that injury, I had maintained throughout, and it was not looking good for a while, but I was asked on the blind side, I was asked by people outside of the blind side, the segment on this show, wherever it was, is Tiger going to win again? And my answer was always yes, because it just made sense. Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at 46 years old. It can happen. Golf lends itself to that. That story was incredible, but I can process that. I still cannot process the fact that the Tampa Bay Lightning lost in the manner in which they did. Can I process that they lost? Sure, because that's hashtag sports. Just when you think you've got the sports world figured out, it loves to just bop you on the nose and say, no, you don't. There's a reason sports is the great unscripted drama that it is, that we don't write this stuff down. We are continually surprised by what we see, despite the fact that certain teams reach a certain level. And that describes the Tampa Bay Lightning. So if you're not a hockey fan, you haven't followed this, and you're just kind of getting into it because it's the playoffs and people talk about these things more. They had 122 points during the regular season, which is an amazing accomplishment. They tied for the most wins in the regular season, 62, with the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings, one of the best hockey teams I've ever seen in my life. They set all kinds of point records. They had the MVP of the league, certainly, in Nikita Kucherov. They had the best goaltender in the league, the Vezina Trophy winner to come, an Andre Vasilevsky. They had everything you needed. They had the skill, the speed, the coaching. John Cooper, who's the longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League. I mean, you had everything to make a cup run. It doesn't mean you're going to get there. There have been plenty of teams that have been great, that have been dominant, that have won a ton of games, but lose in the playoffs. That happens. But this team, to lose in the manner in which they did, to get swept, to get outscored in the manner in which they did, to just get completely annihilated by Columbus, is stunning. That, my friends, is unbelievable. A word I think we tend to overuse in the sports world today. That is unbelievable. How did Columbus do it? I mean, we can go through the list here. First of all, Columbus is not an 8 seed. That was a little deceiving, you know, seeding and how these things go. We say this when NCAA tournament time comes around, right? Seeding. You know, is this team a 4 seed, a 5 seed, a 6 seed? We don't know, right? But Tampa Bay is the clear number one overall seed, the best team in hockey. Columbus, not necessarily an 8 seed. They're better than three teams in the Western Conference, and that will fool you a little bit, but still a team that should have been a heavy underdog to Tampa. Columbus outskated, outworked, out-physicaled, out-everything this team. Tampa had a 3-0 lead in Game 1 and never came close to playing at that level again. Tampa's best player got ejected from Game 3 because of a stupid penalty. Their best player, you go Kucherov, Stamkos, you know, depending on what title you want to give each player. Stamkos threw a cheap shot at the end of Game 3. Tampa was a frustrated team because Columbus came in. You want to get technical, they ran a 1-2-2 defense, which basically means that puck's not getting by us. And Tampa thrives on breakaways, speed. You can't catch them. They're breaking through. They're getting open shots. They're getting uneven situations. They're just going to skate by you. Columbus said, you're not going to win that way, which is the flaw in the Tampa Bay plan. It is so predicated on speed, 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 that sometimes they forget about grit, and they forget about those things that win championships. It's not just talent and speed and some of the things I brought up. So once Columbus won a game and then they won another game and then it goes home, now all of a sudden they've got nothing to lose. They've got a rabid fan base behind them. There's great hockey fans in Columbus. And they can smell it and they can taste it because they had, prior to this, you know what makes this a level more unbelievable? Columbus had never won a playoff series. How about that for your first time? You beat one of the best regular season teams in the history of the sport. So, folks, make no mistake about it. That is one of the great collapses I've ever seen. Now, we were talking about this before the show. Like, remember, I have that picture in my head. Dikembe Mutombo, the 8-seed Nuggets, knock off the number 1-seed Seattle Sonics that year. And, you know, that was a great team, 63 wins. It was a stunning upset, but it was not a sweep. If you look at the 7-game format, even a 5-game format in professional sports, you know, last year we saw a number 1 seed in Virginia lose to UMBC. If Virginia played UMBC in a 7-game series, they win it every time. Every time. But in that one game in that setting, that's what makes the NCAA tournament great, the one-and-done nature of it. If you're looking at professional sports in a multi-game series, best of four, first of four win, best of seven, or even a best of five, this is the most staggering upset in the history of professional sports. And if it's not, it's two or three. If you look at measurements, numbers, talent, wins, everything put in together. If it ain't at the top, it's near the top of the list. That's how staggering of an upset this is, how staggering of a loss it is. It's not crazy to think they could lose the series because hockey series are wars of attrition. Things can happen. To be swept, to have their butts absolutely handed to them in the manner in which they did. Now that, friends, is unbelievable. What Tiger did is in its own category. Every description you can come up with that is accurate in some way. But if you really boil it down, the fact that Tiger Woods won a 15th major, you can process that. What happened last night, I'll never process that. But that, my friends, is the beauty of sports. It takes things you cannot conceive of, you cannot think of, you cannot write if you wanted to, if you sat around all day. If I write that script and I hand that into Hollywood, they laugh me out of the room. Because it's almost too cliche in a way, right? Like, come on, man. Think of something more original. But that's what sports does. That's what sports reminds us of time after time after time. And it's why I love it. And it's why you love it. Unless you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan today. So on that note, Ben Grue is going to join us in a few minutes. He's the head coach of the Crunch. How does he avoid that fate considering his team is playing Cleveland? They are the affiliate of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Systems are similar. How will this help him? We will discuss coming up. First, we're going to get a stock market update. My man Lee Baldwin, ready to deliver that to you. Lee, what's happening, man?
How you doing, Brem? What a day, huh?
What a day. Sun's shining. We're talking playoff hockey. Life is good, my friend.
Oh, nothing better. Nothing better.
Absolutely nothing better.
Well, stocks didn't they finished slightly lower today, so okay. Hockey's better than that, as IBM and healthcare stocks weighed on the Dow.
There was no Tampa Bay Lightning on the stock market today.
Ooh, that was a shocker, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Our diamond today, I'm going to go with Pepsi. That new 52-week high. Snack food sales have strong increases.
I see. Everybody was watching the tournament with some snacks nearby.
I guess. Yeah, that was kind of a surprise.
Now, are we talking about Pepsi the beverage or like PepsiCo the company?
Pepsi the beverage.
The actual beverage. Because I thought like everybody's not drinking soda anymore. It's the health kick and
Got less sweetened products that they offer. And they've kind of tried to have a rounder, number of things to buy,
okay,
I guess.
Soda, so. Still a thing. There you go.
And then our dog is Sprint T-Mobile. Their merger kind of got the kibosh from the Justice Department. So that'll play out in the courts, I think. So.
All right, Lee. Thank you so much, my friend.
Have a great holiday weekend, too.
You too. Yeah, please enjoy your holiday, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Thanks, Brett.
That's my friend, Lee Baldwin. You can find him at LeeBaldwin.com. You can find him in Kaz and Manlius in Utica. Just stop it and be like, yo, hook me up with them diamonds, dog. Don't say that, but please stop in so you can have more diamonds than dogs on your portfolio. Let's break on that note. Ben Grue, the head coach of the Crunch, coming up next. Calder Cup playoffs begin Friday in Syracuse. You're going to want to be there for that to watch a team that I think is about to make a run and win the thing. Stay right there. You're on the block, ESPN Radio.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
What's the matter? 99 Love Balloons, not good for you?
It's just a bad song.
How dare you?
It's no Kids in America.
Goldberg. What do you say we go on the blind side, kids? Seth's here. He's got 5 questions. He's ready to go. Hit the thing.
It's time for the blind side.
Let's go places in a new Toyota from Burdick Toyota in Cicero. The Toyota lineup has it all, from the great fuel economy of the Corolla to the sheer power
and towing capacity
of the Toyota Tundra. Take advantage of great lease deals now. Burdick Toyota. Visit BurdickToyota.com. You may fire when ready, Commander.
Why do people want to see the Robert Kraft tape?
Because people are fill in the blank, sick, twisted, gross. Like, why? Why is the best question. And if you don't know what the Robert Kraft tape is, just don't make me go into the details. Don't worry about it. But, in the name of public information and things that the public, just because we can see it doesn't mean we need to or want to see it. But
I'm going
to
mute Robert Kraft on my Twitter timeline.
That's a great idea.
I have no interest.
What can I do to prevent this from accidentally crossing my social media feed? Because it's going to happen. If you want to see this, if you're like, yes, need to see that,
you're messed up.
You
got problems.
No.
If you had to replace your hands with any other object, what would you replace them with?
If I had to replace my hands with an object.
Any other object.
Any other
not,
object.
That are not hands. What would you put at the end of your
hands?
Arms? Yes.
There's a lot of layers to this. Like, they have to function as my hands.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, sure.
Any other object.
What would you put at the end of your arms?
This is Charlie's question. This is intern Charlie's question. I know it is. Boy, that's a heck of a question. Because I want to have functioning hands. I don't want to be Edward Scissorhands.
Tongs. A claw.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know those claws you can buy if you have to reach something up top? So I don't have 5 fingers. I want something that I can grasp. Because it's the thumb that separates us from the animal, Seth.
Of course.
So I'm thinking, like, I will just print new hands with a
printer? No, no, garbage answer. No.
All right, then give me the cloth.
Okay. If you're intentionally hit by a pitch, should you be allowed to charge
bonus
the mound?
Bonus question. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
Yes.
That's what kind of questions
exactly.
Our intern comes up
if you were intentionally hit by a pitch, should you be allowed to charge the mound without consequence?
If I'm intentionally hit by a pitch?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to throw a baseball at me 90 miles per hour and I take the brunt of that, I should get to respond to you. It's like, you know what that should
Tim
be?
Tim Anderson today of the White Sox hit a home run, emphatically tossed his bat. Next time up, got hit by a pitch.
Oh, jeez, are we doing this still?
The bench is cleared, and guess who got thrown out of that game? Yes, Tim Anderson.
First of all,
who hit the home run and was hit by a pitch.
How dare you hit a home run off a guy and have fun and toss your bat a little bit? I thought baseball was embracing this. Let the kids play, this whole marketing thing.
It's
they've been doing.
Crap, Brent, you know that.
But this is why baseball can take a cue from hockey. This is why hockey... Now, fighting is way down. If they got rid of it tomorrow, I wouldn't care. But hockey polices itself. There's an understanding there. Like, we're going to drop the gloves. You and me, we're going to go at it here.
But that's what this is.
Except that's what baseball should do.
No, that's what it is.
Just let them charge the mound. Let them go at it a little bit. When it gets out of hand, then the umps can step in. And you'll see pitchers throwing at hitters.
No, but that pitchers throwing at hitters is the quote-unquote self-policing. That's the stupidity.
That's nonsense.
Well,
but that's the thing. Like, if you give me some chin music and knock me down, that's one thing. You hit me with that baseball, I should get a fair shot at you. That's fair, right?
Is there an amount of A-Rod
that
is...
Sorry to interrupt you, but remember that when Roger Clemens threw the bat at Mike Piazza?
I do.
Like, Piazza should have been able to pick that thing up and chuck it back.
Yeah, hit him.
You throw a baseball at me, how about I get to throw it back at you?
Fair? That Clemens throwing the bat thing has a different look on it now than it did then, doesn't
it? He thought it was the ball, Seth. I remember that distinctly.
There's some probable roid rage there, right?
Didn't they make a 30 for 30 about that?
I don't know.
If not,
they
really should.
They
really should.
Is there an amount of A-Rod that is too much A-Rod?
Oh, yeah. Where? We reach too much A-Rod.
Have you seen what's happening tonight?
No. What now? What now?
He will be, as the Yankees play the Red Sox tonight, he will be on the ESPN broadcast in the third inning, the YES Network broadcast in the fourth inning, and the NESN broadcast in the fifth inning.
They're letting A-Rod on NESN?
Yes, they are.
I am. Now, I say this jokingly a lot to you and to Paulie and to people in the office and on this radio show. This is a legit use of the following expression. How dare you! Put A-Rod in the Red Sox booth! What are you doing?
This is like when John Sterling called a Giancarlo Stanton home run on WEEI last year.
Mini rant about Red Sox broadcasting. You know what I don't need in the Red Sox booth as much as I love Sean McDonough? 14 different guys calling the games. Just let Joe Castiglione call the darn baseball game. You know what else I don't need when I'm watching my Red Sox games? A-Rod. Anytime, anywhere, doing anything. Get him out of there! No! I've already had a deal with a 6-13 team off to its worst start since 1996. And I got to deal with A-Rod tonight? No!
To be fair, I don't want him on the Yankee broadcast either.
I wish you didn't tell me that, but I'm now prepared for it.
To be fair, I don't want him on the Yankee broadcast either.
Exactly!
He's just not very good at it.
A-Rod on Shark Tank. A-Rod got J-Lo a big ring. I've had enough!
Did you see the story today about how he almost gave away that he was getting engaged?
I did not see that either, nor do I want to know the details.
He said that he said that he only wears his World Series ring on special occasions, so when J-Lo saw him wearing his World Series ring, she was very confused and did not know it was something.
Side note, at our Q&A with Tom Coughlin, Floyd Little,
yes,
and Larry Zonka.
James Mungro was the only one.
Wearing their rings.
Oh, were they?
Mungro had his ring on. Zonka had his ring on.
I didn't notice that.
Coughlin had his ring on.
You know, the Zonka one is a little understated, I'm sure, so I didn't quite notice it.
It was. It looks like a class ring.
I noticed the Mungro one, and then somebody asked him, and he just flashed it. He's like, oh, yeah, I got
that
this.
That thing was. That added about 10 pounds to his finger.
It had to. Last one. Are the Warriors better without Boogie Cousins?
Yes, I think they are, actually. I think we're going to find that out. I think they got the manufactured, in a way, adversity they needed. We were talking about this in the studio today, though, Seth. I brought it up during Hot Takes yesterday. The dynamic with the Warriors is fascinating. If you have not seen this, it's certainly available online. Go watch their 60 Minutes interview and see the core guys that have been there. Steph and Clay and Draymond. And then there's Kevin Durant kind of over in his own spot. And his body language and, like, that guy's out of there. And the fact that they're still going to win the title, I mean, it's not a surprise because Durant's one of the best players in the world, but that whole Durant thing, like, I am so... You want to talk about somebody else I'm so over? Kevin Durant moping around all the time. Like, he should be one of the happiest people on the planet, yet he's one of the most miserable. And I'm tired of him, too. Get him out! A-Rod, Durant, Seth Goldberg, get him out!
All right, see ya.
It's breaking up. On that note, back after this.
Thank you. Bye-bye.